Today's daf is Erevin daf Samech Aleph. If we finish up as Ezra Hashem, the fifth parak of Maseches Erevin today. Today we're going to discuss three basic topics. First, we're going to continue to discuss whether Rav Edi's distinction between a case where you measure 2,000 amos ending in the middle of a city and a case where it ends past the city that we had yesterday, whether it can be derived from a Mishnah that we're going to have later in today's daf. I mean, remember, we referred to this distinction. Rav Edi referred to this distinction as Ein Elu El Divrei Nevius, and we had that discussion at the end of yesterday's shiur, whether that's considered a compliment or that's not considered a compliment to refer to things as Divrei Nevius. But we're going to try to find the source of such a distinction. Then we're going to mention a psak of Rav Yosef relating to measuring the tchum of a city that borders on a deep stream. And in that context, we quote a psak of Rebbe about how two cities interacted on Shabbos, and we're going to have four explanations of that particular psak. Then the last mission of the parak records a machlokas, so that somebody puts an Erev in a city, can measure his tchum from the border of the city, or he has to measure from his actual Eruv. So the Gemara discusses what the halacha would be if the city were desolate, and have to bring two rayas that placing an Eruv in a desolate city can only grant the right to walk 2,000 amos from the Eruv and not from the city itself. The Gemara will conclude with a story where the message is that we follow the opinion in Tanaim that allows measuring the tchum from a city's border when an Eruv is placed in the city, and you don't have to measure just from where the Eruv is, and that will be the end of the Parak Bezus Hashem. So let's continue again from Daf Samech Amud Beis. So if you remember yesterday, we had this chiluk where we spoke about if you kolsa midasa b'chatzia ir, if your measurement of the city ends in middle of the city, that's different than kolsa midasa b'sofa ir, than a case where measuring a city ends past the city. When the measurement ends in middle of the city, so that's it. Then the city is measured as is. That's where your tchum ends. But when kolsa midasa b'sofa ir, then we view the entire city as if it's only Dalid Amos, and therefore you're granted a lot of extra space, even though the city is obviously much, much larger than Dalid Amos. But if the measurement of the Tchum, measuring it as 2,000 Amos, goes beyond the city, so the entire city can be assumed to be measured as Dalid Amos. So that was the Chilik that Rav Edi said is Divrei Nevius. So Amar Rava, Travayu Tanini, Rava says, I don't know why you call it Divrei Nevius, meaning Divrei Nevius implies that it has no source, that there's no way to find where such a halacha came from. He said, what are you talking about? It's both of these halachas are in the Mishnah. Both the halacha of kol samidaso b'chatzi ir and the halacha of kol samidaso b'sofi ir. They're both taught. Anshi ir gedola mahalchin es kol ir katana vein anshi ir katana mahalchin es kol ir gedola. It says explicitly that the people of a large city are allowed to walk throughout the entire small city. The people of a small city are not allowed to walk throughout the entire large city. So people in a big city can walk through an entire neighboring small city, presumably because the 2,000 amos of the residents of the large city ends past the small city. It's so small that that the entire city is within the 2,000 amos of the large city, while the 2,000 amos of the small city must end in the middle of the large city and not past the large city because it's big. So by the time you get to the 2,000 amos, you're still in the middle of the large city when you're measuring from outside the small city. So the Mishnah must be telling us exactly that halacha. That has to be what it's referring to. So says Gemara, Rava makes the point. My taima. Lav mishum dahani kolsim idasan b'chatzi ir, vahani kolsim idasan b'sofa ir. So isn't this exact chilik in the Mishnah? How can you refer to such a chilik as Divrei Nevius? It's explicit in the Mishnah Kemat. So says the Gemara of Rav Edi, Anshi tani umokim la benosein avul modeid lo tanan. Rav Edi's girsa in the Mishnah, it doesn't say explicitly in the Gemara, but if you look at Rashi, he says Rav Edi da amar divrei nevuahin. Rav Edi, who says that this chilik has no basis in the Mishnah, anshi katani b'masnisin b'travayu tani mahalchin. When we say anshi katani, it means there's no ein anshi. There's anshi ir katana mahalchin es ir gedola. Anshi ir gedola mahalchin es ir katana. There's no halacha of ein anshi. The way we had the girsa is that ein anshi ir katana mahalchin es kol ir gedola. The people from the small city cannot walk through the entire big city. But the way Rav Edi has the girsa is that both the people in the small city can walk through the entire big city, and the people in the big city can walk through the entire small city. And he's going to say that the case that we are speaking of is where the people from the small city set up their Eruv in the big city. So they're allowed to walk through the entire big city. The people in the big city set up their Eruv in the small city. And they're allowed to walk through the entire small city. As Rashi continues, Ketan, Misha Yibir Gadol of Anasin Eruv Abir Katana Smuchla, Betoch Alpayim, Mahalech Eskula, Sheeruv Karnalo, Kola Ir, Kedal Ramos, Kilu Shavas Hu Sham, Verava Tani. And Rava had a girsa of Ein Anshe, and we're going to see that girsa is a viable girsa as well. But Rav Idi's girsa doesn't have Ein Anshe. He has Anshe, that they are allowed to walk throughout the entire city, and it's because not that their tchum measurement ends anywhere in the city or past the city. No, it's because that is their city. It becomes their city for Shabbos. They set up an Erev in that city, and therefore that neighboring city becomes their Makom Shvisa, where they're allowed to walk in the entire thing. So it says the Gemara, Velo, Vatnan, Ulamode Chamu Nosna Alpayamama, Shafil Sof Midaso, Kalabimara. Meaning, can you really suggest, doesn't the Mishnah speak about, you really want to say that the Mishnah doesn't speak about measuring from an Eruv where the 2,000 Amos ends in the middle of a city, but the same Mishnah goes on to talk about where you get 2,000 Amos, the 2,000 Amos measurement ends in the middle of a cave. So aren't we talking about measuring and not just dropping off your Eruv Tchumin in a neighboring area? So says Gemara, yeah, so that halacha yitaka do see. Meaning you do see this one halacha that sof midaso kala b'ma'ara, that if it ends in the middle, that's where you, when you measure your 2,000 amos and it stops in the middle of somewhere, that you only get up until those 2,000 amos. That part we actually do see from the Mishnah. What Rav Idi was saying is divrei nevius is the other part, meaning the halacha that if it ends past the city, that the entire city only counts as dalet amos. That it doesn't say in the Mishnah. Sofa ir is srichale delotanan. Rav Idi's criticism was about sofa ir, because that it doesn't say anywhere in the Mishnah that the entire city then gets counted as dalet amos. Period. Amrav Nachman, mandatani anshe lo mishtabesh, umandatani ein anshe lo mishtabesh. No one is making a mistake over here. Meaning, either girsa can be justified. The girsa that anshe ir of the small city can walk through the entire big city, and vice versa is correct. That's Ravidi's girsa, and Rava's girsa of ein anshe ir katana mahalchan is kalir gadola is also correct. Mandatani anshe lo mishtabesh demukal nabnosein. The one that has that they are allowed to walk, Rav Idi's girsa is very justifiable, because he's talking about where the people from the small city put their Eruv in the big city, or the people from the big city put their Eruv in the small city, and as long as the cities are within 2,000 amos of each other, there's certainly no problem with that, and you could certainly walk throughout the entire city where your Eruv is. Umadetani ein anshe lo mishtabesh, and the one that has the girsa of ein anshe is also not mistaken. Demukim lo bimodeid v'chisuri mechzer v'achiktani, because he's going to say that the Mishnah is not talking about where you place your Eruv in the neighboring city. It's talking about where you measure to 2,000 amos outside of your city. And we just have to add in a line and should read as follows: that anshe ir gedola mahalchin es kol ir katana, the people from the large city are allowed to walk throughout the entire small city. Ve'ein anshe ir katana mahalchin es kol ir gedola, but the people from the small city may not walk through the entire large city. Ba'medvar mamurim b'modeid. That's only if we're talking about measuring outside of your city, and that's where your measurement ends. Avol misha haya b'ir gedola v'iniach es eruva b'ir katana. But if someone was in an ir gedola and he placed his eruv in an ir katana, haya b'ir katana v'iniach es eruva b'ir gedola mahalich es kula v'chutzala alpay mama. Well, then certainly by placing your eruv in the neighboring town, you're certainly allowed to walk through the entire town and the additional 2,000 amos behind it. So either girsa or both girsa, we should say, are perfectly justifiable. Amar Rav Yosef, Amar Rami Bar Abba, Amar Rav Huna. Ir sheyosheves al svas hanachal. If you have a city that's by a riverbank, im yesh lefanah daka arba'a modim la misvas hanachal. So Rav Yosef, a city has a deep stream on one side of it. So if there's a four amma, normally arba'a means arba'a tfachim, but But over here we know that it means Amos. It will be clear in the context of the Gemara. If there's a 4-amah wall around the town to prevent people from coming in danger from the water, and the Machlokes Rishonim what exactly the danger is, so we measure the tchum from the edge of the water. Modim la misfas anachal. We can measure the tchum from the edge of the water, not necessarily just from people's homes. V'imlav ein modim la elam mipesach beso. But if there's no wall there to protect the people, there's no wall by the riverbank, then the tchum has to be measured from each person's home. Amr le Abaye, dakar ba amos amrit lanala. So Abaye says, dakar ba amos yinit. Maishnam mikol daki di alma da arba'a. Every other time we have a daka, it's always arba'a. It's always four tfachim. Why over here do you need a daka of dalit amos? Do you need this fence of dalit amos? That's probably why it had a lashon of arba'a, because normally whenever you have the word daka, it always goes along daka arba'a, even though over here it really meant dalit amos. So, but why would you need dalit amos? Amr le hasam lo ba'isa tashmi. He said very simple that normally the daka is more symbolic. Over here, it's there to actually protect, and people are afraid otherwise. So the only way to make the city usable in a way that nobody's afraid, and therefore count the entire city as a normal city where you could measure the tchum from the riverbank, is when you have a viable wall that's actually going to protect people. So what exactly is going on? What kind of protection do people need over here? This is a machlokas rishonim. Rashi and the Rush explain that the Ir Yosheves al Sfas HaNachal and does not have a daka is not considered a yishuv kavua. It's considered like a makeshift community. Why? Because everyone there is constantly afraid, and therefore no one would stay there long term. It's very similar to, and if no one stays there long term, it's very similar to what we said about a week ago, Yoshvei Tzrifin. The Yoshvei Tzrifin, the people that live in huts, they don't. They only get to measure the Tchum Shabbos from the doorways of their huts, because it's not considered a real city. It's considered just a bunch of people that happen to be near each other at this time, but each hut has to measure the tchum from its own hut. So that's the, but if it has a daka, so that makes it a yishuv kavua like every other city, where the entire city counts as one big city, and therefore you can measure 2,000 amos from outside the city. The Rashba and the Ritva say b'shem Rashi, nu, so what are they afraid of? What's this fear that we're describing? So he says all the B'nai Ha'ir are afraid to live in such a city because the river could easily overflow and flood out the entire city. So unless they build a wall, literally a wall, to stop the river from overflowing, so otherwise cities that are surrounded by water, as again we know too well, are sometimes particularly vulnerable without a wall built around it. So that's why that's the pachad that's being described, says the Rashba and the Ritva. Now in the Machsa Shekel, in Simen Shin Tzadi Beis, in the Aruch HaShulchan, in Simen Shin Tzadi Ches, they say that they were afraid, not that they were afraid of being flooded out, they're afraid of falling into the water, that it's dangerous, like having a swimming pool without a fence around it, where you're afraid to have kids running around. They're afraid that people would fall into the water. So when there's a mechitza that stops people from falling, then they're not as afraid. Then it's considered a yishuv kavua, right? Like over here, where they have to have municipal fences around all of the water that we're surrounded by. So that's why it's livable, and we're not afraid that children are going to go and fall into the water. That's Rashi and the Rush. That's how they understand that it's not considered a yishuv kavua without the daka. Rabbeinu Chananel and the Rif explain that most of the time the river that we're talking about is dried up, and the people use it for whatever they need it for. It only fills up in the rainy season. So since they use it, it becomes part of the city, and therefore you can measure 2,000 amos from its edge, that's rachok from the city, when you make a daka dalet amos. But when they didn't make it a daka dalet amos, it's not considered part of the city anymore, and they have to measure from their houses, which means from the chomas ha'ir, meaning the city might have another wall around it, but we're saying even if the city has a wall around it, but if people are always using this river, are constantly going to the river, so then the river becomes the edge of the city, and we ignore the wall. That's what Rabbeinu Chananel and the Rif understand. But when people don't constantly use this river, so then the wall of the city is the wall and not the river itself. There are other pshatim in the Rishonim also, other perushim the Rishonim had to understand also, but just taking those two, the Ritva just points out that Rashi's pshat is somewhat difficult, because the Gemara should have said, Im yesh daka modim atchum misvas hadaka. It should have said, where do we measure the Tchum Shabbos from? From the fence. Why does it say say Misfas HaNachal, but according to Rabbi Yochanan, it'll make sense, because it is Misfas HaNachal, means from the far end of the other end of the Nachal, the other end of the river, because the whole river is still considered part of the city, according to Rabbi Yochanan. So that's why we want to emphasize Misfas HaNachal. The Rashba and the Ritva ask Rabbi Yochanan two kashas. First of all, he says, even if you make a daka, how do we consider the Nachal part of the ear? You're only allowed to be ma'aber a city with a makam that's royal ledira. The Nachal is not royal ledira. You ma'aber a city when you have an extra house that's within the 70 amos or whatever of the city. You can't be ma'aber an ear with a Nachal. So that's one kasha that we showed him ask. So the Ritva says that's only when you're coming to be ma'aber the city because of a particular location, a particular place that's outside the city that you need to be royal ledira to extend the city. But the Nachal is used by everybody. It's used by the entire city. And something that's used by the entire city is part of the infrastructure of the city. You only need a base dira if you want to say, okay, where does that guy live? Where is that base dira? Is it part of this city? Is it just down in the middle of nowhere? So okay, so then in order to be considered part of the city, it needs to be a base dira within the 70 plus amos. But if you're talking about something that's part of the infrastructure of the city, maybe that would not be necessary. The other kasha that they ask on Rabbeinu Chananel is the lashon of the Gemara is that we're modeid mi Pesach Batehem. Sounds like Pesach Batehem Mamish. The way Rabbeinu Chananel understands it is Pesach Batehem means the wall of the city, and then it's not actually their houses. Meaning when we said it by the Yoshvei Tzrifin mi Pesach Batehem, it meant Pesach Batehem. It meant by the actual openings of their tents. So the Ritva says since when we started this Memra, we said Modin Lamisfas HaNachal, which is further out beyond the Chomas Ha'ir. So the Chomas Ha'ir can then be called relatively Pesach Batehem, connected the other option of the Nachal. But in Ochinami, it's not as meduya because maybe it could have been. So that's the kashas that the Rishonim have on Rabbeinu Chananel. Okay, says the Gemara further now. Amar of Yosef, Mina Aminah, right, that's what we're up to? Yeah, so Amar of Yosef, Mina Aminah. So Rav Yosef says, where do I get my Chiddush Din? Right, Rav Yosef is the one that said that the city that has the deep stream on it, so if it has the Dak Arba'a, you're allowed to measure from the water, but if it doesn't have the Dak Arba'a, you have to measure from the house. So where do you get this from? The Tanya, Hit a Rebbe Shu B'nei Geder Yordan L'Chamson, Vein B'nei Chamson Olin L'Geder. Rebbe had a Psak Halacha that we're going to have four different explanations for. Rav Yosef thinks the explanation of this Psak Halacha is his own din, that there were these two towns, Rebbe, where Geder and Chamson, where Rebbe allowed people from Geder to go down to the town of Chamson, but he wouldn't allow people from Chamson to go up to the town of Geder. So my time, why not? What's going on here? Lav Mishum Dahani Avodaka Vahani Lo Avodaka. Rav Yosef explains the people of Geder must have built a fence to prevent people from falling, which allows them, because we're talking about going up and down, so to prevent people from falling, which allows them to measure their tchum from the edge of their town. Well, the people from Chamson didn't build a wall around it, and they had to measure their tchum from each house, and that's why one is allowed to go to the other, but the other's not, because it's beyond 2,000 amos from the houses, it's just not beyond 2,000 amos from the city. So you see that I'm right, that the daka makes all the difference. Rav Dimi Amar, Tatrugei Mitatrugei Luhu B'nei Gedel B'nei Chamson. Rav Dimi had explanation number two of this Psak of Rebbe that has nothing to do with a Daka. It really has nothing to do with Halacha per se, with the Halachas of Erev and the Halachas of Tchumen. He says, no, here's what happened. The B'nei Gedel used to terrorize the B'nei Chamson. They used to always drive them crazy and they would terrorize them. Umay Hitir, Hiskin. So Rebbe made a takana that they shouldn't go there. So the B'nai Gedder would get drunk on Shabbos, and if visitors from Chamson came, the B'nai Gedder would absolutely terrorize the visitors from Chamson. So that's why people from Gedder, Rebbe said, he would allow people from Gedder to go to Chamson, but not allow the people of Chamson to go up to Gedder. So my hitir, Hiskin. Hitir means he made a takana. Umayshna Shabbos to Shchicha Bashichras. Why Dafka on Shabbos did he make this takana? Because that's when people are drunk. That's when they behave inappropriately. So says the Gemara, but what did Rebbe accomplish? So he's misakin that instead of people going from one place to the other, they go from the other place to this. Either way, if the people of B'nai Gedder are going to terrorize the B'nai Chamson, so why won't they terrorize the B'nai Chamson when they go to Chamson? They're only going to terrorize the B'nai Chamson when the people from Chamson visit them. So says the Gemara, that's exactly right. People are more comfortable behaving inappropriately when it's their hometown, when they're at home, when they're a visitor somewhere, they're a little more tentative about the way they're going to behave. Kalba b'lomase shev shnin lo navach. A dog that's outside of its hometown could go 7 years without barking, meaning he's going to be a little more tentative, a little more scared. So they're not going to behave inappropriately if they have to go down to Chamsan. But that's why the people of Gedra have to go to Chamsan. Says Mar Hashanami metatrug b'nei Chamsan b'nei Gedra. But then wait a second, the b'nei Chamsan are going to terrorize the b'nei Gedra. If the b'nei Gedra are going to Chamsan, so the b'nei Chamsan are going to terrorize the b'nei Gedra. So how did Rebbe accomplish anything? Says Mar Kuli Hailo Kaifilu. No, it's a personality type. Look, these b'nei Gedra are not going to terrorize when they're visitors, but they're not going to be terrorized either. They're not going to allow themselves to be pushed over that easily either. So that much they're not going to become cuff of just because they're out of their comfort zone, they're out of their hometown. But the bottom line is, Rebbe's Psak, according to this second explanation of Rebbe's Psak, had absolutely nothing to do with Tchum. It had everything to do with keeping the peace between these two towns. Let's do we'll get to the Mishnah, then we'll go back and say what there is to say over here. Rav Safra Amar, Ira Asuya Kikeshes Havai. Rav Safra says that, and we're going to see a different case, is that it's Rav Dimi Bar Chinna. Rav Safra says that the Chamsan was shaped like a bow, and the Tchum of Chamsan ended just into Geder, whereas Geder's Tchum went all the way through Chamsan. So that explains the discrepancy, why he allowed the people from Geder to go down to Chamsan, but wouldn't allow the people from Chamsan to go to Geder. Rav Dimi Bar Chinna Amar, fourth explanation, Anshir Gedolav Anshir Ketana Havai. No, this goes back to what we were saying earlier, that the Geder was a large town, Chamsan was a small town, so the entire Chamsan was within Geder's Tchum, but Geder was not entirely in Chamsan's Tchum, and that's why he didn't allow it. Rav Kana Masni Hachi, Rav Tevumi Masni Hachi. So Rav Kana taught the last two answers with the people who giving them, as we just said it, that it was Rav Safra saying answer number 3, and Rav Dimi Bar Chinna saying answer number 4. But Rav Tevumi Masni Hachi, Rav Tevumi had a tradition that it was Rav Safra, Rav Dimi Bar Chinna, that it may have been the other way. We don't know who said what. That it could be that Rav Dimi Bar Chinna said answer number 3, and that Rav Safra said answer number 4. But it doesn't change the substance of the answers themselves. The substance of the answers themselves are still the same. So, okay, a couple of things. First of all, the Anshi Ir Gadol Mahalchin, well, actually, we'll get to that a little bit later, but we said that they didn't want to go, it was Dafka on Shabbos that Rebbe made this Takana, because that's when people would get drunk, that there was Shichrus on Shabbos. So this idea that there's Shichrus on Shabbos is the reason for the Takana of saying Va'anis Filasi on Mincha at Shabbos. The Torah writes in Or Chaim Sim Reish Sadi Bey, is based on the Medrash, on the Pasuk in Tehillim, Yishichubu Yoshve Sharu Negino Shosei Sheichar, and it says right afterwards in Tehillim Perek Samach Tes, the very next Pasuk, so the Medrash says, "Amar David l'fnei Hakadosh Baruch Hu." David says to the Ribbono Shalom, "Ein umazu ku'umos hagayim." Look at the Jewish people; they're different than the other nations. Shekshoshim umishtakrim holchim upochzim va'anu lokein. Look what happens when others get drunk; they loot and they act inappropriately, but we don't do that. Ela afal pishashasinu va'anis filasi l'cha Hashem eis ratzon. Even when we drink, it's va'anis filasi l'cha Hashem eis Ratzon, we just reach out to the Ribon Shalom. So the Levush, so that's the idea, because we drink on Shabbos, that's why we say Vanis Filasi and Mincha on Shabbos. That's how the Torah explains, based on that Medrash. So the Levush over there points out that nevertheless on Yantif we don't say Vanis Filasi. So why wouldn't we say Vanis Filasi on Yantif? So Levush points out that some say the reason we don't do it is because we don't learn from the Torah at Mincha on Yantif, and therefore we don't say Anis Filasi. But the Levush says, what does one got to do with the other? What does Tfilasi have anything to do? Tfilasi Shmona Esrei. What does it have to do with Kriyas HaTorah? So he says the reason we don't say it on Yantif is because on Yantif you need Chetzio LaHashem, and therefore people don't get as drunk on Yantif by Mincha time. Shabbos is Kulo Lechem, and therefore there's a lot more Shichrus on Shabbos than there is on Yantif. So only on Shabbos we have to say Avanis Filasi. And which Yantif does everyone, meaning Machlokas, whether you need, there's a contradiction between two Pesukim. One Pesuk sounds like it's Yantif is Lashem, and the other sounds like it's supposed to be Lechem. So the Gemara asks the Stira, which is it? So the Gemara has a couple of approaches, and Tanaim have a couple of approaches. One is that O Kulo Lashem, O Kulo Lachem, and the other is Chetzi Lashem, Chetzi Lachem, right? But everyone agrees, Ba'atzarta, when it comes to Shavuos, then everyone agrees, Be'ina Nami Lachem. Of course you need Lachem when it comes to the Yom Tov Shavuos, which is a little bit counterintuitive. You'd think Zman Matan Torasenu is the time that the one Yom Tov that maybe we could do Kulo Lashem, but why did we get the Torah and the Malachim not get to keep the Torah? It's because we have physical bodies, we live in a physical way, and the Klum Yesh Lachem Ave'e Moshe Rabbeinu says to the Malachim, do you have parents that you're able to honor? Are you able to do you keep kosher when you do you eat? Do you sustain yourself with normal food? We do, and that's what we dafka emphasize on Shavuos by making sure that we have a lechem elin. But anyway, says the Levush, that's why we don't say vanis filasi yantiv, because it all relates to shichrus. Shichrus is matzvei and Shabbos, not on yantiv. Even though ain't simcha lebiyayin, achshav shein beis hamikdash kayim ain't simcha lebiyayin. But they would drink wine all the time, so you drink enough wine for simcha, but not for shichrus. On Shabbos, it was enough wine for shichrus. How we miyashiv the other day, this idea that it has something to do with Kriyas HaTorah. So in the Sefer Mati Yehuda, quoted over here in the Panini Alacha section of the Masifta, he says that this is based on the Shibolei Aleket, that's quoted by the Beis Yosef, that we say Anis Velsi by Mincha at Shabbos because of Kriyas HaTorah that we lay on Mincha and Shabbos. And that's why the Pasuk of Anis Velsi, which comes to tell us the Shevach of Klal Yisrael, that we're different than the Yom HaSa'ulam, is not only about tefillah. It's because that's not such a great Shevach. We daven all the time. We daven Shabbos, weekdays, all the time. And not only that, we're not the only people that pray. The Yom HaSa'ulam also pray all the time. So they also would stop whatever they're doing to pray sometimes. No, the Shevach is about Torah. That Torah is also called tefillah sometimes. And they're both, when we say Anis Tefillah, see, we're referring both to tefillah and to Torah. And that's the Shevach, that we're Marich Bavodas Hashem, B'Torah Vavoda, even though we're Mishtaker on Shabbos. That's the point, that it's not just the tefillah, it's that we're still learning on Shabbos also. We just discussed the other day that they would have the drasha, they'd be Koveya the drasha on Shabbos that everyone would always go to. So on Yantif, where there's no Kriyas HaTorah, so we don't say Anis Tefillah, see, even though one could argue, but there is a special Takanas Moshe Rabbeinu, one of the first Dinim de Rabbanan that ever existed, was that we're supposed to study Hilchos Chag B'Chag. So even though there's no Kriyas HaTorah, there's no public reading of the Torah, but the Din of Talmud Torah on Yantif certainly has its own separate Din of Talmud Torah on Yantif that you don't have the rest of the year. Dafka learning Hilchos Chag B'Chag. Although one could argue that that's part of a bigger picture of a person who's just supposed to learn Mashalibu Chafetz, whatever is relevant and whatever is interesting to him at that time, and Hilchos Chag B'Chag is just an example, but Pashtus is that Hilchos Chag B'Chag is an actual Takana. Okay, let's see weiter. Says the Mishnah, Anshi Yir Gadol Mahalchan is called Yir Katana, Anshi Yir Katana Mahalchan is called Yir Gadol. So we mentioned this Mishnah already, that the people from a large city are allowed to walk through the entire small city. The people from the small city are Mahalchan is called Yir Gadol. The way we have the Girs in the Mishnah is Anshi Anshi Tanan, right? That there's no Ein Anshi, it's that they are allowed to, that the people from both ends are allowed to. Ketzad, Misha Yibi Yir Gadol of Anasin Es Eruvo Bi Yir Katana. So it says it explicitly. If someone is in Yir Gadol and he puts his Eruv in Yir Katana, so you see why Ravidi's Girsa is so good. It flows beautifully about putting your Eruv. And that's why the other Girsa had to add in a Bamedvar Mamurim Bimodeid. And then this next line is a new Alacha. Aval, but if you put your Eruv in, right, that's if you have the Girsa of Einanche, you have to say that the first line was talking about Modeid, and then you have to add in. That was only Bimodeid, but over here we're talking about a new case. So anyway, someone who's near Gedola and he puts his Eruv in near Katana, or Bi'ir Katana, Vinosanes Eruva, Bi'ir Gedola, Mahalech is Kulav Chutzla. So he's able to walk throughout the entire city where his Eruv is, and beyond it 2,000 amos. Rabbi Akiva Omer Ein Lo Ela Mimakom Eruva Al Pai Mama. Rabbi Akiva says no, he only gets 2,000 amos from the makom of his eruv. So Amalem Rabbi Akiva Yeta Modum Li Benosin Eruva B'Ma'ara Shein Lo Ela Mimakom Eruva Al Pai Mama. So Rabbi Akiva says, I don't understand. Don't you agree that if you put an eruv in a cave, that you only get 2,000 amos from the makom of your eruv, not from the entire cave? Meaning, wouldn't you agree to that? So Amalo Emasai Bezman Shein B'Diurin. So the Chum said, yeah, we agree to that because no one lives in the cave. So a cave is not a Beis Dira, so you don't get 2,000 amos from the cave. Avol Yesh B'Diurin Malich Leskulav Chutzal Payim Amma. But if you have any structure where people live, let's say you live in a mansion or you live in a place that's a city that has lots of people living there, so then you always measure 2,000 amos from outside of that location where people live, and not just from where the Eruv is. Nimtza kal tocha me'al gaba. It would turn out that in that sense, the inside of the cave, the underground part of the cave, is more lenient than the area on top of the cave. Ulamodisha, because the inside area of the cave, if it's settled, so then you get the entire area of the cave, whereas on top of the cave is the middle of nowhere, so you only get 2,000 amos from where the eruv is. Ulamodisha, munos na payamama, shafil sof midaso, kalabama ara. And when we talk about someone measuring, where we say that he gets 2,000 amos, even if sof midaso is kalabama ara, the 2,000 amos ends in the middle of a cave, that's where his 2,000 amos go. Now, Tosus had mentioned earlier, a couple of weeks ago, in Daf Mem Zayin and Beis, that even if the city is not surrounded by a wall, it's just a bunch of houses near each other, and there's less than 70 amos between the houses, even if it's a many, many days' journey, it's still considered to be one city, and from wherever that last house ends, you get another 70 plus amos, and from there you begin to measure the Tchum Shabbos, right? You don't need a wall to be mitstaref all of the different houses. So as long as the houses are within 70 plus amos of each other, that someone who's Shoves be Ibura Shalir, so or is Nosin Shame Ruvo, he gets Alpayamama in all directions, and the whole city is considered to be Dalet Amos. However, the Gaon Yaakov says that the ear needs to be Mesukenes b'mechitzos. It needs to have a din of Rishus HaYachid in order for a city to count as just Dalet Amos and to not count against the 2,000 Amos of the Medida of the Tchum. But the Gon Yaakov is molded by the Ibura Shel Ir, that's Mukefes Choma. Let's say you have an ear that's surrounded by a wall, and then you have another house within 70 amos. So then, in Achinami, we're only going to start measuring the Tchum Shabbos from past the Ibura Shel Ir, because that Ibura Shel Ir becomes Batel to the city. He's also molded that if it's an ear that's Mukefes Mechitzos, like a Rosh Hashayachid, but you didn't make an Erev Chatzeros or Shitufe Mavuos. I mean, there are two parts. When we want to carry in the city, we have to make sure there are Mechitzos all around it, or some form of mechita, and then we have to make sure everyone chips in for a box of matzahs so that we have our Erev Chatzeros. What if you have a city that's surrounded by walls, but they never join together in Erev Chatzeros or a Shitufei Mavuos? Can you measure does the city still count as a total of 4 amos, Legabit Chum Shabbos? So even the Gon Yaakov is moda that is the case, that you don't need Erev Chatzeros, Shitufei Mavuos has nothing to do with it. So the Achronim, most of the major Achronim, the Chayyadim, Bismeir, Sharatzin, Chaznish, they all paskin like Tosfos, and they have several rayas to paskin like Tosfos. One of the rayas the Chayyadim brings is from the Yoshvei Tzrifim. So what do we say? That the people who are Yoshvei Tzrifim, it's like they live in tents, and they make because they make these little huts out of nothing, so they don't have a din of a city, and therefore they can only be modded their Tchum Shabbos from the doorways of their tents. So the Ramah writes in Shulchan Aruch, in Siman Shin Sadiches, that's only if they don't have a heck of mechitza asara or a charetz asara that's around them. They don't have a ditch or a wall of ten tefachim around their houses. So Shulchan Aruch over there says that if there are three chatzeros of shnei batim kavuim of Evan or of Nesarim, so those chatzeros make all of it keva, makes the entire area keva, and it has a din of a city, and we would then square it off and measure the 2,000 amos around the city, even though the majority of the city is made up of huts. So what's the Shulchan Aruch talking about? He's talking about where there's no mechitzos, because like the Ramah said, if there are mechitzos, then you don't even need any three chatzeros with two bottom of stone walls and whatever. So obviously when the Shulchan Aruch says this din, that if you have a few normal houses in this city of huts, then that you can measure from outside the city, he's obviously talking about when there's no mechitzos, because if it had a mechitza, then even if it was all huts, you'd be allowed to measure it as a normal city. So what do you see? You see, like the Tosfos says, that the whole city is considered Dalet Amos, even when there are no mechitzos around the city. It's a very stark araya that the Chayyadim in Simenayin Vav, in Klalayin Vav, that the Chayyadim brings that the Balei Atosos are correct in this psak. Okay, one other point on this Mishnah. The end of the Mishnah, we said that Lamodi Chamu, you give him Alpayamama, even if Sof Midaso Kalabama Ara. So we have to recall, a couple of weeks ago in Daf Mem Aleph, we learned the halacha, what if Goyim take a person outside of his Tchum Shabbos, and they bring him to an Ira Cheres? So they put him in a Dir or a Sar, they put him in an enclosure somewhere in a different city. How far is he allowed to walk within that enclosure? So Gamliel Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah said, Mahalei Chizkula. He's in an enclosure, so the entire enclosure is Dalet Amos. He's allowed to walk with it. It's considered like Dalet Amos, even though it's much, much larger. He's allowed to walk through the entire thing. But Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Kiva said, no, ain't allowed to Dalet Amos. He's only allowed to walk 4 Amos. Now, in our Mishnah, we say, you're going to the end of your Tchum, Kol Samidaso Be'emtza Ma'ara O'ir, that you're only allowed to go midas tchumo. You're only allowed to go to the end of your 2,000 amos. We do not consider the entire cave that is enclosed, by the way, to be 4 amos. So the Chora, our Mishnah, only fits with Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Kiva. According to Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, even if you're outside of your tchum, but you're within an area that's surrounded by mechitzos, the whole area is dalet amos. Kal v'chomer, when you're within your tchum, the whole area should be considered your dalet amos. So l'chora, they definitely would have been matir if kol samidaso be'emtza ma'ara, that you'd be allowed to walk through the entire thing. So it sounds like this last line of the Mishnah is really subject to that machlokas tanaim that we learned a couple of weeks ago. So this is a machlokas rishonim. I had to understand our Gemara. Rashi on Daf Mem Beis Amud Aleph said that our Mishnah is actually the divrei kol. When Rambam Gamliel says you're allowed to be mahalei chaskula, that's only when Nachrim took you out michutz l'tchum, where you only get dalet amos. And the chum were makel by such a guy that if he's surrounded by an area that has mechitzos, he's in an area that has mechitzos, the entire area is dalet amos. But that's where Nebuch, he was dragged out of his tchum. But if you're Kona Shvisa, where you have 2,000 amos, and you still have a lot of freedom because you have 2,000 amos and you're still within your tchum, so there was no special reason for the chachamim to come and make a kula that it should be considered, you should be able to walk further just because you're in some sort of enclosure. And therefore, says Rashi, our Mishnah is going l'divrei hakol. Okay, Tosos quotes from Yerushalmi that the Yerushalmi says that not that way, that it's only going like certain shitos in Tanaim. Okay, anyway, so says the Gemara now, last Gemara in the parak. So the Gemara tells Amar of Yehuda Amar Shmuel, Shavas bi'ir chareva l'rabbanon mahalich eskula v'chutzla alpayim ama. If a person began his Shabbos in an empty town, so Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel says he can measure his tchum from the edge of the town, and you can go 2,000 amos outside of the town. Therefore, he niyachas heruva bi'ir chareva. That's only if he spent his Shabbos. He was shavas bi'ir chareva. But what if he niyachas heruva bi'ir chareva? He puts his eruv in an empty town. So does he still get the entire town? No. Ein lo mimakom eruvo ella alpayim ama. He only gets 2,000 amos from this location where his eruv is. He does not get to walk throughout the entire town anymore, and then get an additional 2,000 amos on top of that. Rav Lozer Amar echad shavas vecher iniach malach eskula v'chutz alpayim ama. Rav Lozer says it doesn't make a difference if you stay in town, if you put your eruv in town. Either way, that's called being kona shvisa. So you get to walk throughout the entire town, plus you get an additional 2,000 amos. So meisvei Amar lehen Rabbi Akiva. So wait a second. We're going to have two rayas now. The Gemara is going to bring. We have again this machlokas Rabbi Lazar and the Rabbanan. The way Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel understands it is that the Rabbanan hold that there's a difference between being in an empty town and putting your Eruv in an empty town, which Rabbi Lazar makes no such distinction. So I'm going to bring two rayas. First kasha, first raya against Rabbi Lazar. Both of them are against Rabbi Lazar. So Meisvei, it's said in our Mishnah, Amulet and Rabbi Akiva, Iyatem modem libenosin is Eruva b'ma'ara, shein lo mimakum Eruva ela alpayim ama. Don't you agree, said Rabbi Akiva, that if you put your Eruv in the middle of a cave, that you only get 2,000 amos from where your Eruv is? Amrulo, Amos Haibizman Shein Badiurin. So he said, yeah, that's if no one lives there. So what do we see? Haba'ein Badiurin Module. That if nobody lives there, everybody agrees, you only get 2,000 amos from the Eruv. So we hear also, if you dropped off an Eruv in Ir Chareva, in a desolate town, you should only get 2,000 amos from the Eruv. You should not be allowed to walk throughout the entire town, like Rabbi Lazar says. So Ma'ein Badiurin, Ein Ru'uya Ladira. No, Ein Badiurin means it's not even Ro'uy Ladira. Our Ir Chareva is Ro'uy Ladira, and that alone is enough reason to allow the guy to walk throughout the entire town. Tashma, second raya against Rabbi Lazar. Shavas bi'ir afilu hi gedola ke'antuchia b'ma'ara afilu hi k'ma'ara sidkiyahu melech Yehuda mahalichas kula v'chutzla alpayim ama. That the braisa seems to assume like the Rabbanan again against Rabbi Kiva, that a person who takes on the tchum or of the cave or a city that he started Shabbos in, that here he is, and what does it say? Katani ir dumya d'ma'ara. When we talk about the city, what kind of city are we talking about? A city that's like a cave. Mama ara chareva afir chareva, which means that just like a cave typically is desolate, the city that we're talking about that you are shavas in must be a desolate city. And what do we say? Only if you're shavas in that city, you get to walk throughout the entire city plus an additional 2,000 amos. Veshavas in avali niach lo. But if you didn't take the time to actually be shavas in that city, rather all you did was you dropped an erev in that city, you left your erev in that city, that would not be, because it is desolate, it would not be enough to allow you to walk throughout the entire city. So money, ilim, Rabbi Akiva, Mayur Chareva, Afili Shivanami. Say for someone like Rabbi Akiva, why does it have to be desolate? Even if it was, even if it wasn't desolate, the halacha is this way, right? Rabbi Akiva in our Mishnah held that in any city, you put your Erev in a city, you're only allowed to go 2,000 amos from your Erev. You don't get to walk throughout the entire city. Elulav must be Rabbanan, that we're assuming like the Shita of the Rabbanan. So whose understanding of the Rabbanan are we going with? The time of the Shavas in Avali Niach Lo. You see that according to the Rabbanan, if it's Shavas in, if it's in Niach Lo, that only if you're Shavas in the city do you get to walk the entire city, but not if you're in Niach. So we see that Rabbi Yudam Shmuel is correct. And Rabbi Lazar is incorrect. Rabbi Lazar's understanding of the Rabbanan is incorrect. So it says Gemara, lo teima ir dumya de ma'ara, ele ema ma'ara dumya de ir. So no, you made a fundamental mistake in analyzing the Mishnah that you're quoting. It didn't say, when we spoke about a city, we're not talking about a desolate city. When we compare it to a cave, we're saying that it should be ma'ara dumya de ir, that the cave should be, we learn out about the type of cave that it is from the comparison to city, not about the type of city that it is from the comparison to a cave. And that is ma'ir yeshiva af ma'ar yeshiva, that we're saying that it's dafka in a cave where there are people there. Rabbi Akiva hi, and our Mishnah going like Rabbi Akiva, that you only get 2,000 amos from your makom eruv in this cave, even though people live there, even though it's a place that's used for dira, because that's Rabbi Akiva shita, that you only get 2,000 amos from your makom eruv, and therefore this has nothing to do with our machlokas, Rabbi Yudam Shmuel and Rabbi Lazar. Rabbi Yudam Shmuel and Rabbi Lazar argue about the shita of the Rabbanan. We're assuming like Rabbi Akiva over here, ubishavas modi, and even Rabbi Akiva's moda though, that if you're actually shoves in a city, that you get the entire city plus 2,000 amos outside of it. Aiva kamara sidkiyo katani, but wait a second, didn't it say it's like ma'aras tzidkiyahu? Doesn't that imply that it's desolate? So says Umar, no, kamara tzidkiyahu v'lo kamara tzidkiyahu. It's somewhat like ma'aras tzidkiyahu. Kamara tzidkiyahu gedola v'lo kamara tzidkiyahu di'ilu hasam chareva v'achi yeshiva. It's somewhat like the ma'aras tzidkiyahu in that it's very big. But it's not like the ma'aras tzidkiyahu in that the ma'aras tzidkiyahu was desolate. The ma'ara that we're talking about over here is not a desolate ma'ara. It's one that is dwelled in. This is when Sidkiyahu left Yerushalayim at night to run away from the Kasdim. So the Psukim in Yirmiyahu Perek Nun Beis discuss this Ma'ara and how giant this Ma'ara was. So the Medrash says that the Ma'ara was Shmona Asr Mil. So that's a very, very large cave. Good. So, but whereas the Ma'ara Sidkiyahu was desolate, the Ma'ara that we're talking about is not desolate. So now the Perek concludes with the following story. Mar Yehudash Kachinu Lebnei Mavrachta, the Kamosi Ruvayu Bebei Kenishta. Mar Yehuda saw that the people of Mavrachta would leave their Erev in the shul of a town where they wanted to be Kona Shvisa in, to Be'a Govar, in the town of Agovar. So Amar Luhu, Gavu beit fei, ki yechidu l'shtari l'chutz fei. And he would tell them, no, put your Erev somewhere deeper into the town. The Beis HaKnesses was at the outskirts of town. Put it somewhere deeper into the town, because then you'll be able to walk 2,000 amos from wherever the Erev is. And so if you leave it in the shul, you're only going to be allowed to walk 2,000 amos from the shul. If you put it deeper into the city, you'll be able to walk from wherever you leave the Erev in the city. What was he assuming? He was assuming, like Rabbi Akiva, that you measure that when you put an Erev in the city, you only get 2,000 amos from the Erev, not from the city. So Amar Le Rava, Rava said to Mar Yehuda, Palga be Erev in Les Techash, Lahad Rabbi Akiva. He says, no, Amar Le Rava Palga be Erev in Les Techash, Lahad Rabbi Akiva. And no one's worried about Rabbi Akiva Shita in Erevim. We don't pass like Rabbi Akiva Shita. Why not? Why is no one choshish for Divrei Rabbi Akiva? So Rashi says, Dekaim Lan Alach Divrei Mekel Be'erev. Because the rule is, Alach Divrei Mekel Be'erev. Says Tosfos, like that, and then he says, Dekaim Lan Divrei Mekel Be'erev, Kedepirish Bekuntros, Utchumen Derabanan. And Tchumen is Derabanan. Says Machlokas, is Tosfos saying one thing, or is he saying two things? Is he saying, Alach Divrei Mekel Be'erev, because Tchumen is Derabanan, and therefore Tchumen also, Be'erev, Tchumen, we still say Alach Divrei Mekel Be'erev? Or is he saying, number one, Alach Divrei Mekel Be'erev, and therefore, even if Tchumen is Daraisa, since it's part of Dine Erevin, so automatically it gets included in Alach Divrei Mekel. And plus, Tchumen is Rabbanan. So anyway, we would paskin like Divrei Mekel. That's a machlokas achronim, how to understand what Tulsa is telling us over there. Okay, Hadron Lach Ketzim Avon, tomorrow we'll begin the sixth parak of Maseches Erev.